The following program is sponsored by Bell and Pollock PC. Welcome to Champions of the People, the Bell and Pollock Injury Show. Attorneys Gary Bell and Brad Pollock are ready to work for you. Reach Gary, Brad, and their team at championsofthepeople.com or by calling 303-795-5900. That's 303-795-5900.
Good morning, Colorado. Here we go. Y'all ready for this? The Bell and Pollock Legal Show. Gary Bell, Brad Pollock, our law firm is Bell and Pollock. We are injury attorneys. This is an injury show. And why do we do it? We do it to give you the information you need when you're in an accident, a trauma, because you've got an insurance company for the at-fault party, the one who hits you and creamed you, and they have all the strategies, and they have the knowledge, and they do this every day. They're well-trained. This is not an ordinary day or event for you. You need help. You need information. That's why we're here. Our law firm, over 30 years, we've helped injured victims put their lives back together again. Then it dawned on us years ago that people need information. They came into our office and they don't really know. Sometimes the insurance company had already taken advantage of them. Many times that happened. If you get to an attorney early, an experienced injury attorney, then you can level the playing field with these insurance companies. You can understand the rules, and you can understand what questions you can ask, what questions they should not ask, what documents you have to give. Do you have to give a recorded statement? Do you have to sign a release for them to get your medical records? Do you have to meet their requirements and their demands? And what if they say, well, we can't really help you, we can't really adjust your claim, your injury claim, until you give us this information? That's not true. And you need to know the adjuster you're talking to. That's why we do these shows, to give you the information you need. We try to cover a different injury subject each week, and we try to go into it in depth so you have a more than a basic understanding of what's involved. And then you can formulate your own legal game plan. And we have written a book called Legal Game Plan. It's so important. We trademark protected it. You can get it on our website, championsofthepeople.com. That's championsofthepeople.com. It's free. Any of our six books are free. You can download them free. And if you want a hard copy, you can call us anytime. All right, today we're talking about concussions. Concussions, TBIs, traumatic brain injuries. They're basically the same thing. We hear about them all the time now. We didn't used to hear much about them at all years ago. And now we hear about concussions. So let's just break down the concussions, Brad. You know, there's mild, moderate, severe. Mild does not mean mild. Mild does not mean insignificant.
That might be the biggest misnomer in law and in medical science, in my mind, because mild, it makes it sound like it's a little bump in the road and everything's going to be fine, like a mild sprain or a mild problem you might have. But a mild TBI, a mild traumatic brain injury, is a significant event in your life and will be, if you don't recover from it, will be a significant permanent injury. And it will significantly change the way you're able to carry out your activities of daily living. And I remember when I first got into this kind of business and dealing with these kind of things, it seemed like mild brain injury was something that you didn't have to worry about. Well, it's not. It's something you most certainly have to worry about. It's something you have to pay attention to. It's rare that you get moderate or severe. And when you start getting moderate and severe, you start getting people who are very handicapped. A moderate traumatic brain injury is a severe handicap to a person in their life. A mild traumatic brain injury is also a handicap. And it can adversely affect your ability to carry out your work, to carry out your job, to carry out activities with your family, to carry out the things you want to do. It's going to affect your memory. It's going to affect a number of things that goes on in your life. And it can cause you a lifetime of pain. And so I really hate it when they talk about mild brain injuries. Because when you're talking about a brain injury where now all of a sudden your brain's not functioning the way it did before, and you're finding deficits to your ability to carry out the things you need to carry out in life, there's nothing mild about it.
Right. The insurance companies fight these cases because they think they're the invisible injuries. They think you're faking. They think everybody recovers from these injuries. And if it's mild, they think they can win because it's, quote, mild. Mild, traumatic brain injury, mild concussions can be permanent. And just because the statistics show that a lot of people do recover after days, weeks, or months from a traumatic brain injury, there are a large percentage of people who don't, and that's what they don't want to hear. And they think you should be in the percentage that recover. And so that's how they fight these cases, one of the ways they fight these cases. And later in the show, we're going to talk about structure and infrastructure of the brain, and you're going to find that fascinating. But mild traumatic brain injury can make you where you don't work, where you can't work, where you can't enjoy your ADLs, your activities of daily living. So traumatic brain injuries and concussions are very, very critical.
Well, a mild brain injury can make it so not only you can't work in what you were doing, it can make it so you can't be trained for other jobs. It can make it so you can't get back into the workforce. And so this is not a mild injury when you get down to it.
Right. So let's cover some of the symptoms, Brad, on these traumatic brain injuries, because a lot of people, I think, don't recognize them in the beginning. And if we have time today in the show, we're going to talk about the on-the-scene accident, the EMTs, the Glasgow Coma Scale, et cetera. But let's talk about the symptoms that develop. This is the only injury that we ever deal with that the symptoms can and do develop over time.
Well, they do. And you know, I think about how I've been doing this for over 30 years, dealing with personal injury cases and trying to recover from people who have been injured and as a result of negligence of others. And how many times we have fought in our firm to prove a brain injury, and how 30 years ago, how difficult it was, and how 20 years ago it was so difficult, and what it took to get people to understand that these symptoms that we're going to talk about, first of all, they're not make-believe. They're real. And secondly, they are associated with a brain injury. But because we don't have a machine strong enough to see inside the brain and see all these problems, the insurance companies and defense lawyers just tell you it's not there. It's make-believe. And it reminds me of thinking back when people didn't have MRIs and you'd have a X-ray, and you'd X-ray a person's body, and you'd say, I can't see anything wrong with those ligaments or that tissue or that spinal cord. And everybody would say, well, then they must be faking. They're not really hurt. And then MRIs came around, and by gosh, you started looking at MRIs, and you found out that they were telling you the truth. They really were hurt. And the only reason that the defense was able to get away with, actually, in my mind, taking money from these people, was because they were able to rely on, at that time, X-rays, and MRIs weren't there.
Right. You know, the MRIs, that opened up a whole new field, because then you can measure the movement of discs, like for retrolisthesis, anteriolisthesis, and that's a different subject that deals with the lumbar part of the spine on that particular point. But talking about concussions, so the insurance companies will get their attorneys to go get your emergency room records. There was nothing discussed about a concussion because these symptoms onset over time. You need to understand this, but your attorneys have to understand these symptoms can onset over time. Some of the symptoms can appear right away, and some onset over time. You might have, and some of these symptoms overlap, and that's why the insurance company goes after them. You might have like headaches. You might be depressed. You might have anxiety. You might be misplacing things, getting lost, forgetting things. These things deal with different parts of the brain. And in the show, we're going to talk about the parts of the brain that are usually and normally injured or impaired. But let's go over some more of these symptoms so people understand when you're in a car crash, for example, that's our typical example, what happens?
Well, sure, you can have depression, anxiety, and mood swings. Now, I put those three kind of together, and even personality changes. You kind of put those together because you say what defense likes to do is they like to call those false symptoms. You're faking. You can act like you're depressed, or you can act like you have anxiety or mood swings. Your personality changes. This takes other people being able to say they see this in you, but they like to argue, well, you know, you're depressed because your car got damaged. You're depressed because you're having to go to these doctors, and because you're going to these doctors because your lawyer is telling you to go to these doctors so you can try and get money. And if you were able to get your life stable and just get these crummy lawyers out of your life, then you wouldn't have this problem. When the real reason is because of a head injury, it's because you are having problems with injuries that have occurred to your brain that can't be found and can't be seen. And that's why these symptoms are so important to be paying attention to and to recognize. Sometimes, like personality changes, sometimes it takes somebody else to tell you about them. You've got to get their friends, you've got to get their spouses, you've got to get their children involved, and long-term and short-term memory problems. You can have these. Now, a lot of times those show up later on, Gary. You're dealing with them, and after a while, everybody starts recognizing this person doesn't have the same sharpness they used to have.
You can see it. And Brad and I usually interview other members in the family because we've learned over the years that other members in the family recognize these symptoms in you, the injured victim, before you do. Or you're in denial. Or you don't want to think about it. Or you think it's going to come and go. And it doesn't come and go. Persistent headaches. Anxiety. Lack of focus. Sometimes people say to their doctor in the doctor records we read, man, I feel like I'm in a fog. This is a week after the crash. And sometimes 6 months after the crash, I'm still in a fog. And the insurance company says, you should have gotten over this because the medical literature says a lot of people do. Well, you're not a lot of people. And you have to talk about the mechanism of injury. We always emphasize the mechanism of injury, right? If you listen to our show, we talk about the mechanism of injury to the neck, to the low back, the lumbar part of the spine, the thoracic part of the spine. What's the mechanism of injury here? If you don't have an active brain bleed, the EMTs and the emergency room doctors are going to release you, generally speaking. If you don't have a spinal cord compromise or a brain bleed, they're going to release you. So you have to be able to prove the case. How do you prove the case? It's a symptom-driven case, and you have to record and document the symptoms. Honestly, and this is how this whole process works. You must be able to be prepared to understand this, to know it. Your attorney needs to know it, and you need to have a game plan, right? A game plan to pursue and prove your concussion injuries, because many times they don't go away. Many times they are debilitating and affect you for the rest of your life, in your job, in your life, in your family life, and we've seen it time and time again. So what do you do? How do you prove this? How do you beat the insurance company? That's coming up next. The Bell and Pollock Legal Show, Gary Bell, Brad Pollock, champions of the people.
It's Mandy Connell, and it's time for Your Legal Minute, brought to you by my friends at Bell and Pollock. Listen to their show right here on KOA every Saturday at 10 a.m.
Hi, I'm Gary Bell of the law firm of Bell and Pollock. Our website is championsofthepeople.com. This is Your Legal Minute. Today, we're talking about distracted driving. What difference does it make? There's a place on every accident or injury form that the police fill out for distracted driving. They want to know. The insurance company for the at-fault party who injured you wants to know. Why do they want to know? Because it's difficult for them to beat your legal claim. They're out there trying to beat your legal claim. If you don't believe so, listen to our shows. Call us up. They are your enemy, your adversary. And don't fall for one of these myths. Myth is, I've been injured in an accident. Surely some insurance company is going to pay me. Wrong. They're going to fight you. They're going to try to beat you and defeat you. But one thing that you can use is if the driver that hit you was distracted. The police officer should know this. Bell and Pollock, championsofthepeople.com will help you.
Bell and Pollock. Find them online at championsofthepeople.com.
We're back with Champions of the People, the Bell and Pollock Injury Show. For over three decades, the personal injury attorneys at Bell and Pollock have provided compassionate, personalized legal service. Put their experience to work for you. Go to championsofthepeople.com or call 303-795-5900.
Welcome back. Gary Bell, Brad Pollock. Our law firm is Bell and Pollock, and we've been doing these shows for years, and we've been helping injured victims put their lives back together again. When you're in a crash and you have a concussion, it is miserable, and you need to be able to prove it, because the insurance company is not going to want to pay you for it. They don't want to pay for your anatomical, low back, structural proven injuries, maybe retrolisthesis on the lumbar spine, maybe a herniated disc. They don't want to pay for that. They don't want to pay for the nerve injury, maybe radiation and radiculopathy down your lower extremities, your legs. They don't want to pay for that. And they certainly don't want to pay for what they say, well, you got headaches, you got memory loss. No, you don't. No, you don't. Yes, you do. And you have to be able to prove it. You know, and let's just take a little bit of a glimpse of the picture here. You know, this all came to light. This is to me is like a ghost living in the darkness. These concussions for years, they're coming out of the dark. They're coming into pure light. We're now able to see them clearly. We started with the NFL. So, you know, sometimes in schools. Now we got the youth concussion statute in Colorado. We're going to do a show on that. Not today. And a medical awareness of concussions and TBIs and traumatic brain injuries and how they affect you has accelerated. The mechanism of injury, Brad, is when you don't have an active brain bleed and you don't hit your head, which is what the insurance company is looking for, that doesn't mean you don't have a brain injury. When you don't hit your head, you have rapid acceleration and deceleration of your cervical part of your spine and your head. Your brain is a soft tissue structure inside a hard, pointed, rugged, jagged skull, Look at the picture sometime, and that's how it happens.
Sure, and think about it. When you're dealing with this kind of stuff, you're dealing with the fact that the first thing they always want to know is, did you lose consciousness? Well, if you didn't lose consciousness, you couldn't have had a brain injury. That's wrong. Did you hit your head? If you didn't hit your head, you couldn't have had a brain injury. That's wrong. And the problem you face when trying to show these type cases is that they try to tell you, and they try to go through the fact that they say, well, your head will go through these type of, or people's heads go through these type of events every day. It's sometimes even worse. And it's gradually becoming more aware. But you know, for years, we faced the fact where we'd say, look, you have to equate a person in a car crash going through the same thing as you're dealing with a shaken baby syndrome. And we'll tell you, you know, nobody out there now doubts the fact that if somebody shakes a baby, you don't have to shake them a lot. You don't have to shake them like they're a rattle. You just shake them a couple times. Nobody will say that if that baby then starts showing symptoms that we talk about that are related to a head injury, nobody will argue that the shaking the baby probably caused it. But when it happens to an adult, people go, there's no way. It's the same thing we have now. When we watch football players go out there and bang their heads against each other, nobody used to believe there were head injuries. Nobody used to believe there were brain injuries. Then we started finding out there were brain injuries. Now, how do we find it out? Well, we saw the symptoms in the players, but even then, nobody wanted to believe it. So what happened is when people started dying, they started examining their brains and finding out, yes, this person did have a brain injury. Yes, they did. But the problem is we shouldn't be waiting for somebody to die to go find out if they have a brain injury. We need to pay attention to the symptoms. We need to pay attention to the change in the person and see what happens to be able to identify whether or not we're dealing with a brain injury so we can treat it and improve their quality of life. And that doesn't happen when you're dealing with insurance companies and defendants and defense lawyers. They don't want that to happen, and they still want to argue, which they can convince a lot of juries of the fact that, look, this person could not have been hurt because they didn't hit their head or they weren't knocked unconscious, or even if they did, they didn't show immediate signs. And that's wrong, and it just plain, the science is proving it every day that for years, the insurance companies and defense lawyers have gotten away with sending people down the road with significant injuries that never get treated.
Right. And so you can win these cases. You know, Brad and I always point out the pitfalls and the fences that you got to crawl over, under, through, by, and between, and the hurdles you have to cross to win these cases. But they can be won. We win them all the time. However, you have to know what you're doing. And so we try to point out to you that you need a legal strategy. When we point out these attacks by the insurance company and their defense lawyers against you, maybe you had to have cervical neck surgery in this car crash, and you have a concussion, and it's debilitating, and it affects your daily life and your work. You got to be able to prove it, but you got to be able to do this from the get-go, and you have to have a strategy. There enters our legal game plan. We have a book entitled Legal Game Plan. We wrote it. We packed over 30 years of experience into this book, and when you come into our law firm, you get a free initial consultation and a free legal game plan. Our telephone number, 303-795-5900. That's 795-5900, our website, championsofthepeople.com, championsofthepeople.com. You can call us at any time and get your strategy based upon years and years of experience. Another attack the insurance companies go through, so when you understand these attacks, I've said before, it's like war. It's like a military operation. If you know your enemy, if you know how they're going to attack you, then you can win. Simple as that. And so when you see these, you know about them. You understand in your family members. You go to the emergency room, Brad, and they give you tests, and so they suspect if you have headaches or you say, I lost consciousness or I was dazed and confused, then they might give you a test. They might give you a CT scan of your head. Why? To see if there's an active brain bleed. Bingo. Right there, when there's no active brain bleed, no subarachnoid hemorrhage, the insurance company says, well, you don't have an active brain bleed, therefore it's not visible, therefore your MRI and CT scan was negative. Not positive, therefore nothing showed up in the MRI or the CT scan, and your Glasgow Coma Scale was a perfect 15 when you got to the emergency room, and they discharged you. And so the insurance company says there's no evidence of any brain injury. So what you must default to, like a computer, your brain is a computer, but you must default to proving the case and proving the symptoms. And this is, and so you can't just go in and say, well, I think I've got a brain injury and I got vision problems and I have a headache and I get headaches all the time and I think my memory's been affected. We go through in detail how we're going to prove your case, your legal game plan.
Now, more often than not, with the way these injuries come up, is somebody comes in because they've been in a crash and they think it's relatively minor. They don't think they're hurt that bad. And you meet them first and you're talking to them about different things. You're talking to them about the events that might have occurred to their neck and to their back and to their skull or to their brain and what might have occurred, maybe to their legs or their arms if they were braced or what it might have happened. And you talk to them about the impact and the direction of the impact. And there's just discussions about what's going on and what doctors they've seen and who they've seen, what happened at the emergency room, if they even went to the emergency room, because a lot of them don't. A lot of people don't go to the emergency room, and a lot of people don't ever go. A lot of people wait a day or two or three because they're hurting, but they think it's going to go away. A lot of people are waiting because they don't have pain, and then a couple of days later, they start noticing they've got this numbness and tingling in their leg. But what happens is over time, as you're dealing with them more and more, you start getting some of these symptoms. The symptoms start showing up. Oh, I've been having headaches. I just terrible headaches that make me have to lay down. Or, they come in with a friend or a spouse or somebody, or they say, people at work are complaining that I'm always depressed or that my personality has changed. Or they say, I have memory problems. I can't remember certain things that I used to remember from work. Or they just start noticing these different problems. And as they start noticing them more and more, you realize as the attorney, if you're experienced and you've been doing this and you're paying attention, you realize the attorney, you look at him, you go, you're suffering from a head injury. You had a head injury. So now we have to start talking about how to treat it. Now, the funny thing about that, not so funny, but the way when you're dealing with defense is that normally to determine to what extent a person will or will not recover from a head injury, you got to wait about 18 months. You got to go down the line to 12 to 18 months. 18 months seems to be the standard that most neuro doctors want to deal with. And so you're waiting for 18 months. Now, it's funny, the defense will agree to that. Well, we got to wait 18 months to see if they get better. But their attitude is, if you don't show it immediately, then these symptoms can't wax and wane. They can't come up and get worse, and the head injury can't be playing out till it's worse, and then you find out whether or not they're going to recover.
Look at it this way. When you injure you injured your neck in the crash, and you also had a concussion. Let's look at it this way. The anatomical injury to your cervical part of your neck, the spine, the disc, the ligaments, you can't later in 11 months, 12 months say, well, my ankle hurts. You never reported your ankle. Your ankle wasn't even involved. And so that's how they attack it. But with regard to a concussion, Brad, you don't have every one of those symptoms when you go to the emergency room. You might not have but one of them. You might have none of them. You might have negative MRIs and CT scans, as I just covered. The symptoms onset over time. So they might affect your memory. You might be noticing it. You might think, well, that was kind of strange. So these onset over time, and that's how you prove the case.
That's right. You've got to be watching. You've got to be paying attention. You've got to be concerned about what's happening and recognize that these are symptoms that mean something, that as you're going through some of these symptoms, they mean something. When you wake up, there's so many people that when they wake up after an accident, they have all sorts of things that have occurred to their bodies, and they're feeling all these conditions, and they go, well, I'll wait it out. I'll just see how it comes, how it goes. Okay, that's fine. The defense is going to use that against you, but if you want to see how it plays out. But the bottom line is that these symptoms on your entire body can take time for you to recognize them and for them to reach their peak.
One of the ways you prove this is you become neuropsychologically tested. You have to see the correct specialty, which is neurology and neuropsychology and maybe cognitive rehabilitation and maybe a vision doctor because you have your vision was affected as well. Those are all tied to and related to concussions. And then you see if you improve. And then you'll be able to prove what your specific impairments are. We have done this. You can win this war. We've won them many, many times. Problem is, you have to know what you're doing. Problem is, you must have a strategy and a legal game plan. Gary Bell, Brad Pollack, 303-795-5900. Our website, championsofthepeople.com, because we are your champions of the people.